So, Dario, you've been all over the world, you've met people from all over the world, you've done speaking engagements all over the world, but of course you've spent your adult life in Russia. So, what are the difference between feminism and family and all that in Russia and, let's say, the West?
Yes, I've seen the huge differences because it depends on the context of where I have been in the West. There is a kind of process of secularization, and the religion is very, very moved far away from the state. So the problems of the feminism are not at all connected with any religious topics. While in Russia, we have a very interesting phenomenon where the context, the Orthodox context, somehow influences the even the feminism. That means that all the topics which are broadly described in the Western feminism, the the war for equality, the war for rights, in Russia has the other degree, because Russia is more traditional, stays more traditional, and the influence of the Orthodox religion is much more complicated and interesting. So here we have a very interesting phenomenon in the Russian feminism, which appeared with the name of Tatiana Gorycheva, and is called the Christian feminism. So I think it's unbelievable. It's very, very interesting to say about this, speak about it in the West, because nobody can understand how the religion, which according to the Western feminism is a way of installing the domination on women, can be connected, a religion can be connected with the feminism. Like, it's two opposite sides and controversial concepts. But here in Russia, we have this version, and...
Well, so you actually just asked my sort of second question for me. Well, it does sound like a contradiction, because with Western feminists, they want no one to have any control over women whatsoever, and traditional Christianity usually tells women that, well, you're going to have to... when you get to pick your husband, but when you do meet him, you need to play sort of by his rules. So how does that work?
Actually, Tatiana Gorycheva herself notes that in Christianity there are no hierarchical type hierarchy of woman and man, and there is more dialogue between them. As she quotes Bible, and she says that there was the Virgin Mary, a really woman prototype, and there was a Christ, and there was no hierarchy between them. She gave born to him. Her son, and there were no inequality in this balance. There was a balance. There was two worlds: the world of woman and the world of man. Then Tatiana Gorycheva would do the analysis the biographies of saints and saints, and she finds that there were a lot of woman saints who had overcome a big, a huge root of great existential war, and that they are like really similar to the way which was taken and overcome by the men saints. So she says that there is a special role in the Christian Orthodoxy about the woman's stradania,
their suffering,
sufferance. And she notes that that there can be not only one world, like man's world and the woman as a reduction of this world, but there are two worlds. Then she comes to Simone de Beauvoir, a French feminist, and says, well, Simone de Beauvoir says that a woman is another, is an other. She is an other, the figure of another, and this another is created by a man's world, and now a woman has to do a revolution against this man world. It's Simone de Beauvoir, the second wave of feminism, so-called in history, second wave of feminism. But Tatiana Gorycheva notes that it is fantastic that the woman is an other, but she is not another created by a man. She is another created by the God. And so here she points out that this other as a separate and other world, and there is no possibility to do an hierarchical type of hierarchization between the men's and the women's.
Mm-hmm.
And these worlds are different.
Yeah.
Here, Tatiana Gorocheva says that it can be based on the religion of Christianity, that when it comes to God, the man and the woman are equal.
Mm-hmm.
But they are not equal, as the woman has all the rights the man has. Or the man is not equal to a woman and he doesn't have the similar rights that woman has.
Mm-hmm.
This has two worlds.
Yeah.
And they doesn't correspond. They doesn't cross. They are two separate worlds. This idea was existing not only in the Christian feminism, but it was also created and presented in the standpoint feminism, where there is also the declaration. It's not connected with religion. It is widely presented in the West. But here we have the main topic, that woman's world has nothing with man's world.
Yeah, they're just different.
So. Yeah, they're different. This is a very paradoxical thing, because we think, yeah, the idea is quite obvious. Really, they are different, even from the consciousness, psychology, physical appearance, were different. But the problem is that the liberal feminism and the feminism which dominates the West, it's focused on the creating the equality of women's and men's, even till the era of having the same psychological and physical appearance.
Yeah.
Like the androgyne figure is some kind of making the real equality of woman and man becoming true.
Well, yeah. Because that's exactly what happened in America, where initially, who was the actual subject of the law? It was land-owning men. When the Constitution was written, that's who they were talking to. Then they extended it to all men, and then eventually black men or men of other races, and then they extended the law to apply to women. But they didn't make women into any sort of different or separate category. They essentially sort of shoved women into this men's world of politics and everything. But the thing is, the Russian Constitution is the same way. There's only one sort of entity. There's the citizen. It's an adult person of male or female. So is this sort of Russian feminism still hypothetical, or do you get to see it work in practice with your friends or family members or all that?
Well, for us, that's a very interesting case, because when we watch how the feminism was developing in the world, we see that in Russia, the woman's suffrage was accepted in 1906. From the beginning of the 20th century.
Yeah.
While in France, we have it from 1944.
Uh-huh.
This is an incredible situation. That means that we have already lived in the feminist world, and now we go to the new strategy of this Christian feminism, Orthodox feminism.
Yeah.
And as for Russia of today, contemporary Russia, I think we're still trying to copy the West. We still try to be as liberal as the West is, even if we have a little bit the course in the geopolitics to the multipolarity. But still, we are in this world where there is the man's domination and the woman is some kind of other created by a man.
Yeah.
So, I don't think that we have already overcome this liberal feminism in Russia. I just think we still are in a trap of that. We still exist in the liberal paradigm, which it is a liberal paradigm, but we don't. We need to always understand that Russia was in the avant-garde of the feminist battle.
Mm-hmm.
And like today, we have a regress to this liberalism. So we had a very Soviet avant-garde cyborg even feminism, the idea of real resistance of woman against the bourgeois liberal landlord totalitarian hegemony.
Yeah.
And now we are somehow softening our discourse to the liberal model, which is a regress. And in the same time, on the same time, we have this Christian feminism which appears.
Now, one thing is, you just mentioned the communist period, and from what we usually see in the West, communism seems very, very passionate about their feminism, but feminism the way the West understands it, of sort of making women into men. Well, why didn't that happen in Russia? What was the difference? Because there was a very big push for feminism in the 20s and 30s, but Russian women didn't really seem to go for it.
Well, actually, I think that it's because of the context. We are more classical, and maybe here a woman decided to be some kind of savers of the patriarchy. Maybe they started to feel that the men are losing a bit the wheel, and they decided to be the patriarchal, how to say, savers. Maybe this is the explanation. At the same time, the thing is that Russia was communist more in the geopolitical way, and I'm not sure that we can say that cultural, we had this cultural Marxism. The West is now suffering from, not from the communism, as far as I'm analyzing the conservative media in the United States, I see a lot of anti-communist speeches, but these are not anti-communist, but more anti-cultural Marxism. So we had the communism, which was mainly the economical direction of the communism, or socialism. But this communist politics, we didn't have it a lot. We didn't have this focus on the feminism, on the rights of LGBTQ, and all what is happening now in the West. So our communism was really different.
So in like the 1960s then, when America was having the sexual revolution, women in communist Russia were still being told, why don't you get married and have kids and everything will work out great. Was that sort of the attitude, or what was it like?
That there are the possibilities that communism in Russia can never exist, but it will exist in the form of Christian socialism.
Christian socialism.
Socialism. So the thing is that our mentality didn't accept the communism as it was in the West, so we did a small re-editing of that. The thing is that for now, for Russians, it's quite interesting to see the cyborg feminist, which can exist in the communist parties, and they are for the destruction of the woman, while we doesn't see the communism as the destruction of the woman.
Wow, that is true. I never thought of it that way. That's kind of eye-opening. One thing is, I'm a lot older than you are, so I'm sort of a generation ahead. You're still part of the younger generation. What do other women you know of your generation in Russia, how are your attitudes towards men and life and everything different from women in the West?
I do think we don't have this real obsession of fighting men, and I think that we like the dialogue between harmony between men and women. We think that when the guy is helping you, I don't know, in the street with handing something, I don't know, maybe a big suitcase, that is not a kind of their domination on us, that's a kind of help, and it is normal. That means that a person helps us in this way, and we help men the other way. I don't know, if it's a family, then we create the psychological balance, we help with our kitchen magic, you know, that there exists often, that it is a magic, a kind of magic. You can find even the books now in the West where it's written the, you know, garden witch or kitchen witch. Like even the witch is called the witch. So we're helping in all the series, and I think in Russia this idea of the dialogue between women and men is very, very widely accepted. While in the West the man and the woman dialogue, it causes a problem. So because the woman in the West has already the problem that they can be dominated by men, they will be dominated by men, and they have this small seam in their head, and they doesn't create a dialogue but a war.
And well, one thing that I think is sort of a bit of a paradox, maybe you might have an answer as a woman, you might understand this better, but with a lot of the Western feminists, they seem angry, but they seem to want something, but then when they get it, they don't seem to be happy. They seem very, very miserable and angry. And why is that?
I think that the real feminism, speaking about Russian feminism, is more concentrated on happiness, you know. That really, when I was watching the protests in the West, the girls, which was defending the woman's rights and even receiving something they wanted, they were not happy. They were concentrated on the war. Mm-hmm. And this is the difference, because the feminism in the West is concentrated on the war and the war against men, yeah. While the Russian feminism is more concentrated on the, well, the Russian feminism, as I see it and my friends see it, to share, is concentrated on the happiness of the woman. Mm-hmm. And the happiness of the woman is constructed in its attitude to a man. Mm-hmm. If it's a war, then there will be no happiness. If it's a dialogue, mm-hmm. Then you have a right for the happiness. So this is very important concept you said, that the women in the West who are fighting for their rights and receiving them, they are not happy. Because mm-hmm. their main goal, they are living in the paradigm where there is no dialogue, where it's a non-stop war. And they become the instrumentalized woman. The problem is that West has do the politicization of the phenomenon of the woman. Mm. That was very good noted by Donna Haraway in the Manifesto of Cyborg Feminism, where she wrote, it was in the 80s, yeah. where she wrote that the concept of woman doesn't exist. The concept of woman is a myth, and this mythology, makes the woman unhappy. Mm. She decided and proposed to go further, to go to the cyborg, like a neutral, neutral subject which mm-hmm. can fight for their rights of cyborg. It's better than to fight for the rights of woman. But here, for me, I take the important part that really the feminism, as we see it today, liberal feminism, doesn't show all the woman's interests. Mm-hmm. Because the feminism in Saudi Arabia, where, by the way, the women's suffrage was appeared only in 2011, yeah. or the feminist in India, the feminist in Russia, that's a completely different, with the woman in Russia and woman in Saudi Arabia, it's a completely different worlds, and liberal feminism is trying to instrumentalize to make the woman unique, but there are multiple women. Mm-hmm. And if we create a feminism, we must do a multipolar feminism where all the women of all countries has a right to speak. Because I don't have anything similar with a feminist which are in the process for Biden, or mm-hmm. which are for the BLM movement, because I don't understand. If they defend my values, they doesn't defend mm-hmm. my values. Me as a Christian, me as a Russian woman, they doesn't defend it, and mm-hmm. I can't be solidarian with them. So the problem is that a woman is manipulated, and mm. when we speak about feminism, we need to understand that every woman is different, every culture is different, and there is no possibility for the unique feminism. Feminism, there are multiple variants of versions of feminism.
Now, one thing that I think is important is to have that sort of vision of what victory looks like, because you were just talking about how with the Western feminists are very unhappy because they sort of have this idea of if we get this, this, and this, if we dominate men, if we take, you know, get rid of the patriarchy, right, then we'll be happy. And it happens and they're not happy. So what does this sort of victory condition look like for Russia? What do you think, can we say, Russia would look like where the Russian feminist has gotten what she wanted and everything works? What does that look like?
I think there is a permanent dialogue and the war between women and men, and I don't think that it must be eliminated. Mm. Like in this war, there is a construction of both. So if we win this war, that will mean that the world will end, because there will be no dynamics. I think in all the philosophical concepts, there were always a woman's beginning and man's beginning, like mm-hmm. two key elements of everything, of life. So I do think that this somehow war, a war of women and men mm-hmm. must be, but the problem is that that it must be in a dialogue, like a war, yeah. a diplomatic war, you know, like in China there exists the term in the diplomacy like a wolf wolf warrior. Mm-hmm. And in Taiwan, close to it, there is a cat warrior, like a term on the international relations, a cat warrior. Like, I think that the relations between woman and man is some kind of cat warriors. And mm-hmm. here, I don't think that there can be reached a victory. The victory is in a dialogue and a soft way of, I don't know, tango, like a dance, mm-hmm. is the solution for this. This is a victory.
So you're saying men's desires and women's desires are a bit inherently contradictory, so there's always going to be a conflict. Is that what you mean, or
somehow? Yes, but I suppose that the conflict, not in a negative way, but some kind of contradiction, and I think that
misunderstandings. Maybe.
Yes, but the tango, like, you know, tango as a dance, it's a very good example, because it's, from one hand, it's aggressive, from the other hand, it's a love story. So it's a compromise. And these words, they will never be the same. So the war of one against other will not create one world, but it will create two destroyed world, as it is in the West. When a woman is fighting against men, she destroys men, and there are no more women, no more men.
Yes.
And in Russia here, if we accept the idea of having two wars and having the war between them, the Saint War, without any without anybody who will win, this is a very interesting thing. So it's a bit contradictory. It's a bit, you know, metaphysical, the permanent war of different levels and Neoplatonism. Like, it's
I don't think
mystical.
It's a contradiction. As someone who's worked in the radio, I can tell you that there's one eternal topic that's always interesting, and it's the debate between men and women. Why do men do this? Why do women do this? Because it will always be a mystery, and there's sort of no answer. It's really topic number one when you don't know what to talk about. You can always talk about the sort of conflict between men and women, and it'll have no answer and no end ever. So, was there something else you really wanted to mention? You had a lot of notes. Did we get it? Did we get to everything, or?
Actually, I wanted to say to underline that topic about two words again, because this is a really important feminism. We have the liberal feminism, which kills the woman and kills the man.
Yeah,
this is what we see in the West. We have a postmodern feminism, version of postmodern feminism, which is the Donna Haraway idea of the cyborg. She's speaking that we need to overcome the woman and to go to the abstract cyborg. That we see also in the West, which is, which by the way is contradictory to the liberal feminism.
But the one thing is, why does she say we need to overcome the woman? Does she say that women are sort of inherently weak? So in order to have equality, we have to become something else?
No, she is saying that there is no woman, like woman as a mythological concept, because women are different, and we can't do a unified woman. There is no
single woman idea.
Woman.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. So she says, in order to overcome, then let's go to the cyborg, a new concept, and we will overcome man and woman in the cyborg feminism. And there is a other point, the standpoint feminism, which I'm a fan of, and I'm really is defending that point, is that the man and the woman are two worlds. In this world are not similar, and this world can't be put in the any structure of hierarchy, but these worlds are in the dialogue. And only if they are in the dialogue, and in the war dialogue, then there can be a woman and a man. In the other feminist version, there will be no woman and no man. Mm-hmm. And here, the standpoint feminism is very important for us. And I think that a very important point for our viewers is to note that the Christianity and Christian feminism is basing on the standpoint feminism and is observing the figure of a woman as a figure of a Virgin Mary. Like, this is a prototype, an ideal woman, if you want. And this is a very important thing. Unfortunately, the Christian feminism, Orthodox feminism, is not very well known in the West. And I think it's maybe it can happen that in some years we will receive a Catholic version of feminism, which will be very interesting. For now, I know in Europe the circle Antigones in France, which are defending the femininity itself, but they are more in the context of paganism. So they are saying that they are a goddess and that nature is a woman and we must defend this.
But that's going back to then sort of trying to defeat men by saying nature and everything is female, so then that sort of makes men the bad guys.
But these girls are not attacking the men. They are from the traditional conservative circles, and they are more on the standpoint feminist tradition. So they are defending the dialogue, the dialogue, and this towards, towards dialogue.
That is a good one, because there's definitely a war between Western feminists, because some say if a man puts on a wig, he can become a woman, and others, which I believe are called the TERFs, say no. A woman can only be born a woman and really experience, experience the patriarchy. So what does Russian culture have to say about this new thing with transgenderism, men becoming women, and so on?
Well, for now, it's very far away from Russia, and we don't understand this topic, we don't know a lot about that, and I don't think that it will come to Russia in next 20 years. I don't know, you ask any babushka on the street, she will not say what is gender fluidity, and we don't have it on the TV. From the same time, the thing is that now the modern feminists and liberal feminists are appealing to interesting archetypes. For example, the transgender archetype is the archetype of the androgyne, which is a sacred figure, for example, in Platonic philosophy. And the thing is that this is some kind of the manipulation, that the metaphysical concept like androgynes, they become the political quote, the political thing. And this is what is very bad. And here what I can say is that LGBTQ transgender topic in Russia, when it appears even in the opposition media, that is political thing. And it has nothing to have with the soul of people. I'm very neutral. I'm not judging the people. And I can't say that I'm friendly, transgender friendly, but I think I'm not judging it, because I think as an Orthodox that to judge anybody is a sin. Yeah. So I don't speak about that. But what I'm judging is the manipulation of LGBTQ, gays, transgenders, and their politicization. And how the opposition media in Russia, for example, manipulates the poor people who
have these, maybe we'll call them mental issues.
They're a personal choice. I mean, this is a politicization, and it's very cruel, and this is a bad tendency. We can see the mentioning of these groups and transgender groups in the opposition, and here's the point that they are very artificially put in our context. And this is a very, very
and since
bad
that
tendency.
Type of person is always against the status quo in Russia, always against the system, against Putin, does that mean that then the system really stands for traditional values?
Yeah, we have a traditional value system, and our state declares the necessity of families, like we have a demographical support programs, we have the programs of young mothers if you are before 30, and you have, I think, first child, you have some kind of the credits on the good conditions, and this system is very, very friendly, family friendly, and this is very good. But, for us, these topics you mentioned about transgenders, and gender fluidity, this is something unknown, really unknown. We don't know what is that. I mean, we still live in the classical, typical, traditionalist paradigm, and for us, for example, I was living in France for 1 year, and I was observing the protests against the gay marriage in 2013, and there was a motto like a man and a woman is a family. And once there was a traditional meeting protest action against gay marriage here some time ago, I don't mm-hmm. remember, and they have taken this motto, a man and a woman is a family. The problem is that nobody understood what does it mean, because it's obvious for us.
Well, yeah, it's
like
just...
it's obvious. For French people, it was...
Yeah, it's beyond question. No one would even think of it. That is interesting.
Because nobody was understanding what's said, and my friends asked why they're saying this. Are they stupid? And then I said they copied the motto of the French protests, demonstrations, mm-hmm. but actually this is not obvious for France.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's not at all that not a woman and a man. If you say a woman and a man is a family, then you're a fascist and you need to go to prison because you are saying something against the law.
Oh.
So
now, out of pure curiosity that I have, I'm just kind of interested. So you mentioned about how there's sort of a dialogue war between men and women that's going on forever here. What are some of the things that you and your friends as Russian women get really riled up about men? What do we do that really bothers you or annoys you? Where does your frustrations with us? I'm just curious.
I think that actually, as for me and my friends, we hate when men betray the patriarchate.
Oh.
Then men become weak, then they become, very smooth, then they start to be a manager far away from a country, from a earth, from the real life.
Mm-hmm.
This is my traditional, zone, and my friends, girls,
uh-huh.
they think that the most awful is when the man betray his faith, his country, his values, and his ground where mm-hmm. he was born.
So are you talking about something like they just sort of go off and play video games and waste their lives?
Yeah.
Like that kind of?
That's stabilization and this interest for the virtuality. Mm-hmm. This is a betrayal of the patriarchate. Mm-hmm. If you are a man, stand on the side of patriarchate.
Uh-huh.
And like this, we can speak with you and do it a dialogue. But if the man starts to lose his own man's center and this hierarchical line, analytical mind, and become emotional, a lot of feelings, starts to non-stop do the psychological seminars and psychoanalytics groups. Yeah. Well, there exists a situation when the man comes from the war, or maybe has some real cut problems and goes to the psychologist. But when it's like a weaker man who really loses everything from a man's mind, from Apollo, like got Apollo.
So you're almost saying, it's almost like you're saying that when a man starts to kind of hop over the border between man world and woman world, and they start to get into this sort of feelings, and I feel this and that, and that's just kind of disgusting.
That's very interesting, because the man crosses the line, the frontier, the front line,
mm-hmm.
and they start to go on our sides, It's like maybe it's a partisan danger,
it's a sneak attack.
Danger. Yeah.
Well, actually, to be honest, there's some truth to that, because a lot of times there have been a lot of the rise of this person called a simp, right? They're sort of this man who's very submissive, and they try to be as pleasant as they possibly can to win over women. But a lot of times, some of those simps have wound up being some of the most vicious predators.
Yeah.
Because they use that friendliness as a mask to try to get at women. So, very interesting. In a way, it is. It's kind of fake.
By the way, I'm interested. You've been living in Russia for a lot of time.
Yeah.
When you came first time, have you seen the difference between woman in the US and woman in Russia?
Yeah, I would say maybe with the exception of some women in Moscow, because Moscow sort of is America in a way. If we exclude Moscow, Russian women want children. Absolutely, there's no doubt, there's no question, and our purpose as men is to create those children with them. So that's one thing where I think where there's a lot of divorce between Western men and Russian women is these Western guys come here, they see that these women are really interested in them, and obviously that's great, right? But they kind of they miss that part that they're interested in them because we're the path to children. And I think that also with Russian women, when Russian women are sort of angry at men, it's because they see that the path to children, the children are what they want, it sort of relies on this other person. You have to deal with this guy and all this guy stuff. And I think for some time, for certain Russian women, that can be very annoying. They have to deal with us.
And for America, when he was living there, was there the huge feminist protest, and was it political?
Now, the thing is, Daria, I'm from sort of the middle of nowhere, and is tradition with a lot of countries. Big protests tend to happen in big, major capital cities. So there wasn't a lot of that where I'm from, but that's simply because I'm from the middle of nowhere, right?
But it was more traditional there, in the middle of nowhere.
So there's sort of this dynamic where American women, they want to have a guy, but they want to be independent. And in a lot of ways, these goals are very contradictory, right? And so when I've dated American women, I've always felt it's like they want you, but they don't. And they're trying to like push you away because you're going to take away their independence. And with Russian women, that's not there. But what they do want is what you mentioned. They generally want men to sort of be serious. And the one thing I've always had trouble is they really want the man to organize their life, to come in and solve all their problems and organize their life, which I can do. But the problem is that if you organize their life and solve their problems in a way they don't like, they tend to have a lot of things to say about it, which is very frustrating. Again, it's contradictory. It's like, please help me. I'm a woman. Do everything. Okay, I'll do everything. But you did that wrong, and now I'm angry. Well,
this is our secret tactics of the control and of the victor winning the war.
Which
must not be won, but must be a permanent war.
Well, and that's exactly it. Just like I watched this particular YouTuber who does a great job, and he said that as he tells women, he's a black man, right? Mm-hmm. A black American guy, and his main audience is black American people and me, apparently, right? And he tells these black women is, if you keep bringing aggression towards men, in an aggression battle with men, you lose. But, you know, in a battle of maybe manipulation and feelings, we always lose. You see what I mean? And I think Russian women tend to understand that more. They understand that there's a way to sort of get what they want out of men through this more gentle approach. And they'll find happiness that way, rather than with these kind of angry feminist types. They want to fight. And if you fight men, we either fight back or we just vanish, which is always the easy option. So
I will note that. I will say to all my friends.
it's true. And someone who's been involved in a very aggressive relationship many years, I can tell you aggression does not work with me. That's not the way to win. But anyways, let's see. Anything else from the audience here? I think we got it.